We head to the home stretch in quarter number four on the Keystone Kickoff Show. Brought to you by the Keystone Sports Network. Get the best Penn State sports news and analysis at KeystoneSportsNetwork.com or download the Keystone Sports app from your smartphone.
Welcome back to the Labatt Studio, and it's quarter number four. It's being brought to you by Labatt Blue Citra. A bright hop aroma and a crisp, clean finish. Labatt Blue Citra. Check it out. Don't forget, you can get all our content on KeystoneSportsNetwork.com. You can also download our app, Keystone app, from the App Store on your phone. And we're on Spotify. Just look us up, Keystone Sports. So, quarter number four, we're going to have a little roundtable this week. We're going to talk about Penn State going to another level, maybe going to elite. Maybe. I'd like to start by going back to the Ohio State game and James in the press conference talking about the next level before we talk about some things. I, for one, liked kind of like the emotion and the honesty that he showed after that. He was obviously a bit warm under the collar after what was a second 1-point loss in a row to Ohio State. But this was his quote. The reality is, and I think it's very, it is, I think it's accurate. The reality is that we've gone from an average football team to a good football team to a great football team, and we've really worked hard to do those things, but we're not an elite football team yet. He's not wrong. As hard as we work to go from average to good, from good to great, the work that it's going to take to get to be an elite program is going to be just as hard as the ground and distance that we've already traveled. It's going to be that it's going to be that hard. Right now, we're comfortable being great. I'm going to make sure everybody in my program, including myself, is very uncomfortable because you only grow when you are uncomfortable. So we're going to break through and become an elite program by doing all the little things.
They're not great. They're not great yet. They're not. They're closing in on great. They're not great yet. No, they're not.
No, they're not. Yeah.
They have a chance to be, but he's one off. They're not close to being elite. I don't think they're great yet.
Elite in my mind would be a perennial playoff team. That's an elite team, right?
Right.
Perennial playoff team, or like in the top six of the college football playoffs, like every year. I mean, how many elite teams are there really? Alabama, Clemson, maybe Ohio State?
Maybe Georgia.
Georgia, I'd say, is elite. I'd say Georgia, Ohio State. I think those are like the elite teams. The great teams then.
Oklahoma
are like,
elite? Just asking.
Oklahoma's closer to great.
Okay.
I think, I don't know. I mean, 2 years in a row, Heisman winner, number one pick, and in the college football playoff. But they haven't been able to get to the championship game.
Correct.
I'd say Oklahoma is somewhere between elite and great. And maybe that's the same. Maybe Alabama and Clemson are on their own elite category, and that it's Georgia, Ohio State, and Oklahoma in the next category. But to Bob's point, Penn State's not in that group.
No.
They're not in that group. The question, I guess, is, are they in the next group?
Are they in the great group?
Great. A great team closes out USC in the Rose Bowl, and they beat Ohio State the last 2 years with double-digit leads. That bottom line.
Yeah.
A great team doesn't lose to Kentucky.
Or you could go that way too.
Or home to Michigan State.
Right.
Right.
So I would say that they're a good team.
Yeah, I think they're approaching that. I just don't think they're even at great yet.
Yeah.
So what are the one or two factors that they need to go from, in our opinion, good to great, maybe, to be a great team, besides just, right, you know, beating Ohio State football-wise?
To me, it is, you're defined by tough games in the fourth quarter. That is, I mean, you look at what Ohio State's done against Penn State the last 2 years. I mean, the games, you look at the last two fourth quarters against Michigan State. Now, Michigan State's not a great team, but those were winnable games in the fourth quarter, and they didn't score, and they couldn't get a stop in late in either of those contests.
Right.
To me, the fourth quarter is really what college football is all about, and you look at even Ohio State in that Maryland game before they just smoked Michigan. Now, that was not a great Maryland team, but Ohio State found a way to win that game in the fourth quarter, and it set the stage for their next couple of wins. Penn State has to get better in the fourth quarter of close games, and until they can do that, I just think they're looking at a good to somewhere between good and great team.
So, like in New England, Belichick looks for any tiny little advantage he can get. And then you stack up a bunch of those, and then it becomes something that makes a difference in games more often than not. I think for Penn State, I think Trace was a great quarterback. But I also look at it and say, well, the teams that got in the college football playoff, you're talking about Trevor Lawrence, you're talking about Tua Tagovailoa, talking about Kyler Murray.
Deshaun Watson.
Yeah, you're talking about Baker Mayfield. Mm-hmm. So I don't think that in my mind, quarterback's not what is – there's not any one thing that's preventing them from being elite. But I think quarterback, it's fair to say, is a factor. You know, they had a six-round pick quarterback as opposed to a first round. And even against even Ohio State had the 15th overall pick. Yeah. At quarterback. So that's one thing. I would also just say they're not good enough up front on both sides of the ball. They're really not good enough anywhere, but they're not good enough up front both sides of the ball, especially probably the defensive line. But you look like their defensive line does not match up with Clemson, Alabama, Georgia, Ohio State. I mean, Ohio State had Nick Bosa. They're going to have Chase Young will be a top five pick this year. You know, now Etor is one of those kind of guys, but Ohio State gets a bunch of these guys drafted every year. Or even look at, and Penn State almost beat them 2 years in a row. Or even look at receiver. Ohio State gets all these receivers drafted. Penn State's had like not many.
One or two. No, two.
Godwin and, we've talked about that last week, Godwin and Deshaun Hamilton. So I guess I would say, it's a little bit at quarterback, a little bit at O-line, D-line. I think a little bit in-game coaching decisions.
It's the sum of all
and
parts.
And I think a little bit is just kind of their psyche. Like, I think when they're late in the game against Ohio State in a close game, I think Penn State wants to win. I think Ohio State like knows they're going to win. I just think that there's a different mindset. So in the NFL, like when you have Brady as your quarterback, you know you're going to win. When you have Charlie Fry as your quarterback, you're hoping like hell the guy can put together a drive and you can find a way to win the darn game. Just a difference.
Now, Penn State did do that in the 2016 game. They won that game, and they took it over in the fourth quarter. But I think it's the exception to the rule, I think, when you look at it at a big picture. One thing they got to do, and it probably goes to what Ross is, they got on defense, they're getting faster, they got to be more disruptive, and they got to force some more turnovers. They don't really do a good enough job of making game-changing plays. I mean, you look at what Ohio State can do, they give up a lot of yards, but they have athletes that can kind of take over the game, whether it was Joey Bosa at Penn State in the 2014 game sacking Hackenberg to end that game, or whether it was Chase Young on that fourth down play, just wrecking what Penn State thought was a good call. I don't know that Penn State really has those guys that can do that in the moment.
That would be the key point to me, is that this year, Etor, Micah Parsons, John Reed, Castro Fields, the guys that have a chance to be difference-making players have to make the big plays when they have a chance. And there were times last year when Imani did not make it. Michigan State, he dropped the pick, right? Like, there were times where Imani did not make it. There are other times where the guys just didn't make the play. The guy they needed to step up didn't step up. They had all kinds of drops last year. We know that. But, like, this year, they need Micah and the guys I mentioned on offense. They need Ricky Slade and Hamler and Justin Shorter, like those guys, and Freiermuth, like those guys have to make critical difference-making plays when it comes to that point in the game.
We're coming to you from the Labatt Studio. Labatt Blue and Labatt Blue Light. Remember, bleed blue and white. Drink blue and light. This was one thing when I was thinking about the topic to become either great or elite is the ability to play and win a 2017 game or play and win a 45-42 game. Like, you don't have to be sort of, okay, we could say Oklahoma's a bit of a one-trick pony. But if you look at Clemson, they can play that kind of game, Alabama, or they can play a shootout.
That's an interesting point, by the way, Andy, about Oklahoma and whether or not they're elite. Would Penn State have been in the college football playoff the last 2 years if they were in the Big 12? I don't know, but I think
that
it's
offense. They've had offense.
I think it's a fair question to ask.
But I just think that that elite, you know, or between great and elite teams, they can play a different style of game. It doesn't have to be just one kind of football game for them to have success.
And you feel like Penn State just has to play one kind of game?
I feel the last 3 years that they've been that if their offense couldn't score, that they were going to struggle to win a football game against a better opponent.
But I think that's generally true. I mean,
correct. I know it's a little more offense heavy now, but if you look at like when Clemson last year had to beat Syracuse, that game was 24-21.
Right.
You know, they can play a low-scoring game and win. Alabama, you know, Nick Saban's perfect world. I think every game would be, you know, something.
When's the last time Penn State scored less than 24-1?
Oh, man.
Yeah, that's a tough question. But I'm just saying in that scenario, that means you have a more you've got the defense to play a tussle back and forth, but you also have the offense if the other team's offense is firing all cylinders and wrecking your defense, you can wreck their defense as well. That feels to me like that's one of the things.
Just a small word about special teams, just being more consistent.
Yeah.
I mean, you got to have a kicker you can trust from 40 yards and out.
Right.
You got to have Blake Gillikin. He's got the leg, but he can't hit a line drive to the Kentucky, you know, punt return guy that he was going to return it for a touchdown. Can't give up kick return scores to Appalachian State, all that stuff. Needs to be coordinated better. They should be better on special teams with these athletes they're recruiting.
So, and the other thing I looked at is in today's game is you need to have 3 to 4 weapons in the passing game. Think of Penn State in 2016. They had 3 or 4 weapons that they were blowing, including Saeed Blacknall at times. That would be the fourth.
But 2017, I would say.
Yeah, they had
Saquon, Gesicki, Hamilton.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Trace is a weapon on the ground.
They had 3 or 4 weapons, but it seemed like, you know, last year it was limited. It was just 1 or 2, and they were searching for weapons. I think if you have 1 or 2, you're going to struggle. You need at least 3 or 4 weapons to throw at people that are consistent on a weekly basis to be even great or elite.
I really think when you look at their roster, I think they have a chance in 2020 to be really good.
Yeah.
I mean, really,
I agree.
Really good.
I think they have an outside chance, if everything goes right this year, to be better than people think, but a lot of things have to go right.
Right.
And you can start with 14, Clifford.
At quarterback.
Hitting the ground running. But I mean,
is he better than Justin Fields? Is he better than Shea Patterson?
They do have
Is he better than Lewerke?
I think this could be his most talented roster. Most talented, but they all have to deliver.
All right, that'll do it from the Labatt Studio. Thank you, Ross. Thank you, Bob. For everybody here at the Keystone Sports Network, thanks for joining us and have a good weekend.
It's time to get undomesticated. It's time for Labatt Blue. Time to get off the couch and on the beach, on the trails, on the lake, onto what you love doing best. Get in touch with your adventurous side. Get out the ATV, the tent, the sunscreen. Get out the cooler and fill it high with Labatt Blue and Labatt Blue Light, because nothing goes better with the great outdoors. It's time to get up, get out, get undomesticated. Labatt Blue and Labatt Blue Light. Beer, Labatt USA, Buffalo, New York.
Hey, it's Ross Tucker, former NFL player and now host on the Keystone Sports Network, telling you about GoPSURV.com. I had an unbelievable experience for the Wisconsin game with my wife. My father-in-law came up. We had an absolute blast tailgating at GoPSURV.com. If you don't know about it or you haven't checked it out yet, you need to do so immediately. Call Mark at 1-800-519-8467 or go to GoPSURV.com.
This is Andy Shea from the Keystone Sports Network. You heard us talk about 409 tailgate sauce for a while now. Honesty moment. I use 409 tailgate sauce at my house, and it's a hit with my family and friends. My barbecue chicken always comes out great. The sauce also works on pork, beef. You can even put it on your burgers. Go to 409tailgateclub.com to order 409 tailgate sauce for you or that tailgater in your life. And remember, always tailgate with honor.